Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching in the book of John. Please open your Bible to John chapter 7, verses 32 through 39.
Oh, look what he says there in verse 35. Then the Jews said among themselves, "Where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks?" Now, from this verse, we can see that the religious leaders referred to by the phrase the Jews and not referring to the entire Jewish race. And they ridiculed what Jesus said in verses 33 and 34. They scoffed and said, "Where does he intend to go that we shall not find him?" Oh, they continued by saying in the second part of this verse, "Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks?" Now, the Greek word for "we" is hemias, and it shows that they were saying, "Where is Jesus going to go that we, the Jews, the religious leaders, cannot find him? Even if he tries to go to those dispersed among the Greeks, we will find him." Oh, the phrase "the Greeks" is a reference to non-Jews. And they were saying, even if he tries to go and teach these people, we will find him. Oh, I bring this up for a reason, because don't you allow your jealousy or envy of someone to consume you to the point where you're like these religious leaders saying, "Wherever my ex goes, I will find him or her," and make their lives miserable. Oh, this is the state of mind they had, and maybe you're here and you're consumed with someone to where you're sending anonymous letters to their next duty station, bad-mouthing them, or putting what he or she did to you on social media, saying, "No matter where you go, I will find you." Or let me suggest to you to just let it go. Please let it go. "But they hurt me badly." I'm so sorry for your hurt, but take it to Jesus and not to social media. Jesus is a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Oh, my wife and I, we constantly are telling people privately on social media, no fighting on Facebook. No fighting on Facebook. Let it go before you get to the point like these religious leaders to where you can't let it go. And then you won't be able to let it go until you see them crucified and in pain like they caused you. Let me tell you, let it go. Please let it go. Allow God to heal your wounded heart. Oh, they continue to mock what Jesus said in verse 36. Look what it says there. "What is this thing that he said, 'You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" Oh, these religious leaders, these jealous, should I say, religious leaders, said this with great derision. Oh, this is why they said, "What is this thing that he said, 'You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" With their religious noses up in the air. And maybe the very thought of your ex causes you to grit your teeth and say their name with such derision. Whether that is an ex-spouse, ex-boyfriend, or girlfriend, or former boss, if you don't let it go, you will be consumed just like these religious leaders, and you won't be able to let it go until you see them nailed to a cross. Let it go. I can tell some of you it's eating you up. Even just the thought of their name, your derision, you just, and you know who you are. And this is the kind of stuff that will eat you up to the point where you won't be able to let it go. You won't be able to let it go. You'll come to church and every message you hear, you're trying to listen for justification, for your to pat yourself on the back for feeling the way that you do. You need to let it go. You'll be looking for any person on social media to just, you just need one, just agree with you. And then that puffs you up even more to feel the way you're feeling. Let me tell you, let it go. Let it go before it is too late. And what I mean by too late is before you can't let it go, until you see them nailed to a cross. Look what it says there in verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, stop right there. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Feast of Tabernacles was a 7-day celebration of how God preserved their forefathers in the desert for 40 years. Oh, Jesus came in the middle of this celebration, according to verse 14. So now it is the last day of the feast where a procession led by the high priest goes to the Pool of Siloam and returned with a golden container of water, which was poured out at the temple before the Lord. On the last day, this process was repeated 7 times. Oh, look at the second part of verse 37. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It was on this last day that Jesus cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. When Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, it shows that there is a universal thirst that everyone experiences. It's not just a thirst that certain social economic folks experience or certain races experience. No, he said, if anyone, which shows that this thirst is across the board. If anyone thirsts, and this thirst is seen through frustration and awareness that there is something more to life. A thirst that is seen in our inability to achieve full satisfaction in the pursuits of this world. Oh, did you know there's 3 different kinds of thirst that everyone experiences? Number one, there's a physical thirst. Our bodies are made up of 70% of water or some kind of moisture. And our brains tells us when these levels are low and we become physically thirsty. Oh, number two, there's an emotional thirst. The thirst for love, the thirst for security, the thirst for attention, the thirst of a need to be needed. And this is an emotional thirst that some people's levels are lower than the other. But we all experience this physical thirst. We experience this emotional thirst. Then number three, there's a spiritual thirst. The thirst to have a relationship with God. As Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2 says, as a deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, God. My soul thirsts and longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. There's that thirst, that longing as a deer pants for the water brook. The amazing thing about that is in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 2:2, it's not on the screen for you note takers, in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that he may grow thereby. The word desire in the Greek, it means an intense craving, a longing for. That same Greek word is the same word used in Psalm 42 in the Greek Old Testament called the Septuagint. As a deer pants, that same Greek word that's used for desire. It's an intense craving, a longing that everyone has on the inside for a relationship with God. Everyone, all over 7 billion, how many of us in this world? Everyone worships something or someone. It's been put in us to worship God, but many people have been deceived into worshiping other things and other people and other statues and all kind of other stuff. But there is a longing to worship God. But they find themselves worshiping all kind of other things other than God. And so see, the Feast of Tabernacles not only commemorated the past, but it also anticipated the future. As the high priest will pour out the water at the temple, they would read Isaiah 44 verse 3, which says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry grounds. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and blessings on your offspring. Oh, this was a very quiet and solemn moment. Oh, the picture was very clear. See, Siloam, the pool from which the priest drew water, means sent one, according to John 9:7. And it signifies how Jesus would be the sent one who would pour out the water of his spirit upon a thirsty people. It was at this quiet and solemn moment that Jesus comes and cries out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. See, if you're thirsty today, You cannot quench that thirst any other way other than through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come to me and drink, not go to the bar and drink or go to that place in your house that you sneak some brew in and drink. That's not what he's saying. It is through Jesus Christ that we find refreshment for our thirsty souls. See, you are thirsty, and that is why you're trying to quench it in so many other ways and through relationships. But you end up with another baby without being married, or you end up with another baby mama and the drama that goes with that. Or you end up doing going from habit to habit, hobby to hobby. Only Jesus can quench your thirsty soul. He said, come to me and drink. The word come, it speaks of an act of the will, meaning that we have a choice whether we want to come or not. And too often we try to quench the thirst with the pursuits of this world. And we find ourselves just like the woman that Jesus dealt with, the woman at the well in John 4, verse 13. When Jesus told her, he said, you drink of this water? Oh, you're going to thirst again. Oh, just earlier, he had already said, hey, we doing all this talking. All this is great and fine, but go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. And the thing is that she was trying to quench that thirst on the inside by drinking from the well of relationships. And there are many of you who are just like this. Ladies, especially you, going from relationship to relationship, trying to quench the thirst that's deep on the inside of you. And you're trying to quench it by drinking from the well of relationship, from the well of men. And you say, and this is for singles. If I just get married, then I'll be happy. That's what she was saying. Because she didn't have five husbands. And then she said, you know what? Obviously, this married thing isn't working out, so let's just live together. Jesus said, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. Trying to drink from the well of relationships, looking for love, looking for completeness. The Bible said we're only complete in him. And you're trying to find just some man, somebody just to love you, and you feel that that's going to make you complete. And that thirst goes beyond a human relationship. We can only find that thirst quenched in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is constantly inviting people to come to him. This is why he says, if anyone thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is constantly drawing us to come to him. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you the rest that your soul is looking for in relationships, the rest that your soul is looking for in the pursuits of this world. It's in me. Come to me. I will give you that rest. Notice how it says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden. It's hard work trying to quench your soul that can only be quenched in Jesus Christ. That's hard work. Trying to go, especially men, for some of you men that's trying to juggle women and a bunch of women here and there, that's hard work. I'm almost 30 years of dealing with one. You trying to juggle a few and forgetting what you're telling him and her and them? That's hard work. He said, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and the rest that you're looking for, I give it to you. Oh, John 6:37 says, the ones who come to me, I will by no means cast out, or I won't turn you away. If you come to me, I won't turn you away. And maybe you're here and you've been turned away. You've been trying to give yourself to this person and that person, and folks just use you and abuse you and just turn you away. Jesus said, you come to me, I won't turn you away. And we also see in Revelation 22:17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is a reference to God, the Holy Spirit, working through the bride, the church, inviting people to come to Jesus Christ. This is what we're called to do. Also in this verse, it again says, let him who thirsts come. Oh, even God the Father, he started this calling people to himself, oh, long ago. We see in Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Inviting people to come. Oh, we see this coming that God does even back in the book of Genesis. Come, let us reason together. He did that with Adam in chapter 3. He says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Adam said, well, we were naked and we hid ourselves. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I told you not to? Well, see, what had happened was. And so, see, you see, God is saying, come, let us reason together. He's reasoning. He could have easily zapped Adam. But no, let's reason. Let's talk about this thing. Oh, God knew. It wasn't like Adam was the best ever in hide and seek, and God didn't know where he was. He knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to acknowledge where he was. He wanted him to confess his condition before God. Oh, we see the same thing in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain. So, Cain, where is your brother? Well, just like Adam said earlier, what had happened? He got on my nerve one day, and I just couldn't take it. He knew exactly what happened, but he wanted Cain to confess. God is always saying, come, let's talk about this. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, the invitation to come is always there. The question is, are you going to come? You know that you're thirsty. Are you going to come, or are you going to continue to try to quench your thirst with other things and other people? Oh, we're going to give you an opportunity in a few moments. Look at verses 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would not receive, or would receive, should I say, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now Jesus said, he who believes in me. Notice how drinking of Jesus is the same as believing in him. Now this belief, we have to understand that this belief is not just acknowledging biblical facts about Jesus Christ or the Bible. And many people believe because they believe in some biblical facts that they okay. This is why the numbers are still high, that 80% of Americans say that they believe in God. I always got to ask, what God you say you believe in? Because it's obvious that the belief hasn't affected the way they live. And therefore, the word believe is pisuo, and this word, or pistis, is the shorter version of it. And it means to trust in, to rely upon, to adhere to. So he who believes in, trusts in, adheres to the teaching of Jesus, that's what it means to believe. Not just, well, I believe, you know, John 3:16, Jesus wept, John 11:35, I believe, you know. I believe the Bible is the word of God, some of it. I don't know about all of it, but, and people believe that kind of stuff and they think they're okay because they have acknowledged some, facts about Jesus Christ in the Bible. No. That Greek word is just impregnated with all kind of meaning. It means to rely upon, to trust in, to adhere to. One expanded definition of it means to place all of one's weight upon. And that's what it means to truly believe. So you have to ask yourself, so do you truly believe? And notice he says, he who believes in him and trusts in Jesus, notice, as the scripture has said, is a reference to Isaiah 44 verse 3 that the high priest read during this time that the people will be very familiar with. Notice he says, but he who believes and trusts in him, as the scripture has said, what would happen to those who believe in Jesus? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus is saying that we, as believers, should be channels through which the living waters of Jesus gets to other people who are thirsty. The question is, are you a channel that the rivers of living waters are getting to other people? Or is your life clogged up with sin where no water can flow out of you. Oh, there are millions. There are millions of thirsty souls out there, and God wants to use us to quench their thirst. But we must come to him and drink first. Have you done this yet? You can today. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that today. Now, the scene is about to shift back to the crowd who were listening to what Jesus said to these religious leaders that we will look at God's will next week. Now, let me conclude with this. If you're thirsty today, Jesus invites you to come to him and drink. Will you come? Jesus is waiting with opened arms. He is the only one that can give you the living water that will quench your thirsty soul. Or maybe you're here and you have a personal relationship with Jesus, but you don't see rivers of living waters flowing from your life. Maybe you just see a few drips. You know that sink that you got at home that it just constantly kind of just drip. You haven't changed that washer out yet, but it just kind of drips. That's how many of your lives are. And either you have sin in your life that you need to confess and forsake, or you need to be filled afresh with his Holy Spirit, like we talked about last week, that is ours for the asking. Like Luke 11:13 says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's ours for the asking. Either way, come and let Jesus forgive you of your sins and overflow your life with rivers of living waters. And whatever you are thirsty for, he can quench it for you. Let me wrap it up with this. Maybe you're here and you just can't let it go. I brought something up that's been deep on the inside of you and you haven't been able to let it go. Jesus wants to free you from that anger, from that hurt. He wants to free you from the disappointment that you've had in relationships. He wants to free you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you think you're free. See, the way you know whether you're over it or not is how do you feel when their name is brought up, or when you see them, or when someone talks favorably about them? Or do you all of a sudden squint that eye, turn that head, and you start talking through your teeth? You're not over it. You think you are because time has gone by and you haven't heard their name mentioned, but you're not over it. You're not over it. You need to come and let Jesus free you of that mess, because all it's doing is hurting you. They moved on with their life and you sitting here still soaking. And that ticks you off too, because they moved on and they're not hurting like you are. And that makes you madder. Oh, leave that stuff at the foot of the cross. Leave that stuff here. It's killing you. It's affecting. And then you know what? Everyone you come in contact with is poisoned by your bitterness, poisoned by your anger. And that's why you keep going from relationship to relationship, because you're toxic. You're poisoned. And you poison the people that come in contact with you. That's why you hear guys always say, even in movies, you know, don't make me pay for what the other guy did to you. That's why that mess is being said. You're poisoned. Let the Lord free you from that poison, that toxic, that mess, because it's eating you up. Because you want to be free before you can't let it go anymore, until you see them nailed. Oh, that's when the root of bitterness have grown up in your heart and now it has defiled you. You have to get that stuff pulled up by the roots. And we're going to give you an opportunity. There's going to be some people here available to pray with you about these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. We pray, God, that you administer your word to our hearts. Lord, we just pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would draw people unto you. Lord, I pray for those who are here who've never really repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. They might have believed some facts about you, and they might know some things about you, but they don't know you. And Lord, I pray that you would draw them unto you today. Lord, there's those who are here who have a root of bitterness that need to be uprooted. Lord, may they come and lay that at the foot of the cross. Lord, draw people by your Holy Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' Kingdom Vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608 and receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.